Please be upstanding for a new recording of Things We Like.
Welcome to Things We Like. Tonight we're on location. We're not in the default chateau. A shed. We are at the Hesketh Mansions.
Hesketh Park Mansions, I'll have you know.
Dan's den of iniquity.
Yeah. It's pretty marvellous in here.
Mm. And we're going to be, well, probably talking about some things we like, probably. Yes.
It's what we do on a fortnightly basis.
It's also how we do. Oh, hi, I'm Jim.
Hi, I'm Dan.
Hi, I'm Jan.
Oh, I didn't see you there. I'm Alf.
And
I just thought you were being ignorant for all this time.
Let's kick off. Oh, kick off, what a horrible phrase. But out of context of football. I'm rambling. Jan.
Do you have a topical thing for this week that I like? Andy Kaufman might not be dead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's been on the news this week. Andy Kaufman was around in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, he disappeared, died 89, 80?
Something like that, I think. He was mainly famous for playing Lacker in the sitcom Taxi, although apparently he wouldn't be very happy to be mainly remembered for this because he didn't like the role and he didn't like sitcoms, but
thank you very much.
He was, I think he'd class himself more as a performance artist than a comedian, and it did seem like his major role in life was make himself laugh by playing practical jokes on the entire world, which is why faking his own death seems quite in character. But yeah, this week his brother was at an awards ceremony, I think it was.
A foundation he set up in Kaufman's name.
Yeah, and he played a short film and welcomed someone claiming to be Andy Kaufman's daughter onto the stage. He said he'd found documents amongst Andy's possessions that said he was going to fake his own death and that he'd meet him in a restaurant in 1999. The meeting never took place. So everyone did keep assuming that he was dead, but apparently this girl's turned up saying that she's his daughter and that he's been alive all this time, just living out life like a normal person.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome, because quite frankly, he's hilarious.
But this is just the kind of thing that he would probably have wanted, like, set up before he died.
It had a quote in the article I read about it on the BBC that was like, saying that I was half trying to entertain and amuse fans but also infuriate them, like that was part of his deal, like, you know, he did love to do it. It fit the people who said they saw the speech as well were like, you know, it's Andy Kaufman's brother, like, you know, could he be fucking with people?
Yeah,
well, I don't know, maybe it's the sort of, it's a good way to honour his brother's memory as well, but
yeah, definitely it keeps it going. Well, a lot of people
they said he looked real, like, yeah
they said that the brother looks like he genuinely believes this is true. They don't know if someone's playing a joke on him or he's involved, but I'm genuinely interested to see how it plays out.
It's only a DNA test away.
Indeed. And you know, he's also one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in a professional WWF style stance.
Doesn't he still hold the intergender belt?
He's the only professional wrestler, I think. I could be wrong about this, but he's the only professional wrestler throughout his career to be undefeated.
It's pretty good.
And he is the one and only intergender wrestling champion of the world.
Did he not only wrestle women?
He wrestled Jerry Lawler as well.
Did he win?
By disqualification.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, still a win. I don't suppose they would have actually given an inter... I don't suppose they would have actually given an intergender belt out. But, because, you know, China wrestled loads of guys, you know, back in the day.
But she was intergender.
Okay then.
Well, it's a championship that he created at the end of the day as a joke so he could wind people up because people genuinely believed him to be a misogynist. But he was just having a laugh at everyone's expense.
And what Lola was on, in on it all as well, though, wasn't
Yeah, by all accounts, that he thought it was absolutely hilarious.
He wanted to carry it on past the point that...
pre-arranged.
That's not a question. The veracity of wrestling in this era.
Right, good, because I don't want to have to check that out.
That was definitely before it went fake. Definitely.
But wait, before? No. I mean, I've got the power to fact check tonight. I don't want to find out if wrestling's fake. My whole childhood would just be turned upside down.
Actually, this is a weird turn up because we're indoors in a place with web access. We actually are able to verify some of our wild statements this week.
To be honest, Jim, I'm just going to be using it to see if half the things you talk about actually exist.
Everyone is always surprised.
You got any conspiracy theories this week, Jim, to share with us?
Yeah, the chances are, though, even a conspiracy theory, you know, it's... Even a conspiracy theory, you know, it's, like, you know, not... Really,
probably not real.
You can't,
yeah.
Well, you can't really fact-check it, otherwise it's not a conspiracy theory anymore.
Well, usually you get the claim that I saw it on the BBC.
Yeah, sometimes it's true, though. Some of the most unbelievable shit I've ever heard Jim say has been true. The beaver anus deal, that's just mental.
Beaver anus.
What? Elaborate.
We've mentioned this.
I think we have mentioned
this in episode 3.
But in case no one's listened to our entire back catalogue, it's apparently a main ingredient in strawberry food
flavour.
Apparently,
it is true.
Yeah.
It is true.
Beaver anus.
Yeah.
Something with beaver anal gland apparently tastes like strawberries.
Okay.
Found out by a very interesting individual named Jimmy Jimbo.
I've made millions.
I don't really want to type in liquor beaver to find out if it tastes like strawberries. Let's see what comes up. Like a beaver.
It might have come from something like the perfume industry, because they chuck all kinds of weird shit in perfumes.
Mm.
Somebody was like, I don't know, let's whack a bit of beaver anus in there.
Ooh. See images.
Oh, beaver anus. Are you looking at images of beaver anus?
I should have anus. Surprisingly tame.
I know, and safe search is off. Hot air balloon, dogs,
guy with a mustache.
There are some strawberries up there.
Did anyone see, I can't remember, I don't know if it was on Cracked or something else, that apparently there's quite a fetish out there for porn with, like, of girls in quicksand, like, clothed. I'm sure there's probably some out there with them naked in it, but a lot of it is a sort of, the sort of fantasy element of the whole idea. But yeah, like, guys into girls sinking into quicksand.
I don't really get that one.
No, it's like, it's not even vaguely erotic.
No, yeah, it's there.
Yeah. Is this what I've just said?
Yeah, having a look now.
Yeah, women in peril in quicksand.
Yeah.
Some generic dicking.
Well,
the best kind of dicking.
The world of weird. Does anyone else have of our linkage coverage, not in terms of content. Jesus, you derisive bastard.
Derisive? Derisive.
Well, you say derisive, I say derisive.
Vernickety.
Mm.
Finish your shade.
Yeah. Well, that was it. For a crash course on Andy Kaufman, watch Jim Carrey's Man in the Moon.
Yeah, that is a cracking film and pretty much covers all bases.
Mm.
Watch Andy Clifton.
Oh, Andy Tony.
That's his brother.
Andy Clifton, his loose relation. Loose.
Seems to be on personal terms.
I'm sure there's a story out there about that, about him going to the Playboy Mansion or something and getting invited, as Andy Clifton got invited, but because of some, I don't know, communication friction that occurred or whatever, he was like, no, I'm going to go as Tony Clifton, and then, like, they were all okay about it, and he was like, but, you know, you can't tell anyone. And of course, you know, Hugh did tell everyone. It's like, oh yeah, it's Andy Kaufman. And then, like, 2 hours later, after this, Tony Clifton had just been a dick the whole time to everyone, but it's Andy Kaufman, and everyone's letting go. And then, like, 2 hours later, Andy Kaufman walks in to the party, and they're like, what? And it's like his mate that he did used to do that, didn't he? Like,
it was his
set
writing partner
with
Bob's Mooder. Yeah, he faked a lion escaping from Chicago Zoo, I believe.
I heard about that. They hired like 50 actors and ran through town screaming, "The lion's escaped," and everybody lost their shit.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Honest.
Yet entertaining.
if they'd have had Vines and stuff back then, they would have owned it. They would have owned YouTube.
You think that about, like, what about, like, Monty Python and people like that? Because you imagine the crazy shit they would have been pumping out.
Yeah.
Just imagine how short our attention spans would be now.
Wow.
I do think that's actually happened. I'm like, there's some things where definitely. I'm like, I want a little slice of rapid-fire nonsense entertainment. Is that good for you? I don't know.
I don't know, between Twitter and Vine, so I've got the attention span of 5 seconds right now.
Oh, look at that.
Honestly, it's like being a goldfish.
That's not actually true about goldfishes.
It's true,
it?
Yeah, they manage to navigate mazes.
Yeah, yeah, they retain memory for around about 3 months, apparently.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's still not very long.
It's longer than they've previously been given credit for. This.
I mean, the jump off between 3 seconds and 6 months, that's a many thousand increase.
Mm.
Good work, goldfish.
Talking of memory, today they've just announced
your mind.
Mm-hmm. Windmills. Oh no, it's a different song. Short attention span. Today, like, they have announced that they have extended quantum memory at, oh, I can't remember the technical term, but at room temperature. They actually used quantum memory to remember something for 39 minutes from data storage, and that is, like, actually, it's on the BBC website.
Without supercooling going on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It is cool. And it means very soon we could have the crazy, crazy computers that they've been planning. Here we go.
It does exist.
Yeah.
Jim, one for one so far.
I'm 1,000 for 1,000.
One for one so far.
Fucking 5 by 5.
With its information, this is for almost 100 times longer than ever before.
Mm. It's a memory storage system, whereas instead of just ones and zeros bits, it sort of has an interstitial state, whereas there's one, the zero, and the super state of 1, 0.
Both of them at the same time.
Or none of them.
Basically, the Rosella of memory.
Yeah.
Do the beat and the chorus at the same time.
And it could lead to robots. No, like, see, it could lead to the development of emergent intelligence. What?
Sorry, I just thought I'd add a little camp moment at the top of whatever you were saying. I didn't. I, it was because you said robots, and we previously to this have been discussing that thing about it's too hard to say whether it's a like or not.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. I kind of do like it, regardless of the negative or positive outcome. Is the robot that killed itself?
Yeah, I think it was an Australian robot. I'm not quite sure on the details, but it was definitely a cookery robot, and it definitely walked into its place of work and without warning set itself on fire, killing itself. Hilarious, James.
I know, I'm laughing, but it's horrible.
Yeah, a robot killed itself today. Well, not today, recently.
Quite an experience living in fear.
Maybe it was, you know, a Buddhist.
Yeah, a robotic cleaner.
Fuck.
Oh my god, that's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put the link up for this, but this robot has annihilated itself.
It walked onto a kitchen stove. That was its chosen form of death.
It doesn't say if it left a note, though.
They just left it switched on an adjacent worktop before going out, and left to its own devices, it wheeled itself over to
the robot was switched off, so it switched itself on.
Oh my god, it did, yeah. It
reactivated itself and went on to the hob.
Oh dear.
Wow. It must have somehow activated the hob also. Wow. So yeah, be nicer to your robots, and I think from now on we shouldn't really call them robots because it means slave. We should think of a better term for him, like
from the Polish word robotnik.
Mm-mm.
Because I watched The World's End last night, so and that fact was drilled into me many a time.
Indeed, I think that's where I got it from as well.
I know I read it before and go, oh, that's quite interesting, but because I've got such a short memory, I just never really thought about it. You're so right. Because it was said about 15 times, I was like, okay,
you're all right.
I'm finding things out here. I don't want to know about the movie yet.
You're finding out of context things.
I know, but like the word robots mentioned 15 times, I can pretty much guess.
Jim, it's about fucking robots.
Ah!
It's on the trailers.
La 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 la.
I don't really have much sympathy for you with spoilers.
Well, that's a bit cold.
True. I stand by it.
You know, Darth Vader was his dad.
Oh,
yeah!
He was dead. Bruce Willis.
Oh, shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a woman. No, wait a minute, she was a man. Oh, big twist.
Was that Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
That she was a woman.
Oh no, that she was a man.
If it turned out all three of them were actually women, that would be a massive twist.
Can't deny that, yeah. Would have been huge.
But yeah, no more robots. Call them non-biological entities or something like that.
I can't do acronyms.
That would be NBA.
Yeah. Well, seven.
Yeah, but like, things like artificial intelligence is probably out as well, because what right do we have to call someone else's intelligence artificial?
I've met a few people.
Okay. Well, like the cast of TOWIE that Dan will soon be joining.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is probably going to be one of the last podcasts I regularly appear on, because in the next couple of weeks I'm moving south to join the cast of TOWIE. I'm not joining the cast of TOWIE.
I hope you are.
TOWIE is an acronym.
I hope I'm not.
If you find yourself with sufficient spare time in the coming weeks, are they still even making that?
TOWIE.
I believe so.
Oh, God. You should try and get yourself in as an extra, because it would just be hilarious.
Well, I'm only like down the road from where it's filmed, so
you should well try and get in as an extra.
Yeah.
Right, hold, TOWIE is an acronym for The Only Way is Essex.
Yeah, which is a lie. It's not the only way.
Isn't it?
It's not even the best way. It's not even remotely close to the best way.
I thought the best way was up.
Like, do you know the way?
The only way is up. Right. Which also is...
that's only for you and me.
What about everyone else?
Well, I don't know, but the only way is up is just for you and me now.
Oh, damn. Everyone else is going down, and not in a sexy way.
Or in a country and western way.
Mm.
Just in a bad way.
Wait, there's a difference between going down and getting down.
Yes, but what's your point?
I don't know. I've been trying to ask you out. I'm not sure.
So, anyone actually liked anything?
Have you liked anything this week, Dan?
Let's see. Beardy Man this week. Mm-hmm. Well, after watching the Polyphonic Me, his little TED lecture about his new setup, it was quite fun. It was quite interesting what he's been doing with himself the past year and a bit. Turns out he's locked himself in a lab and making a great big musical beatboxing tool so he can do everything he does do but five times as good. And yeah, he can make pretty much full orchestras with his mouth in seconds.
It was good, but I still think I preferred that set that you played with him with the four chaos pads.
Oh, the best of all one. Well, that's what you used to use, but this just kind of streamlines everything and makes it a lot easier to do what he does, and can do so much more with it.
I think as well, like, you know, on that TED lecture, it's cool and it's pretty cool, good the stuff that he does do, but you think when you get an hour to 2 hour set, you'll find places using a machine like that that he wasn't expecting, never mind the audience. Like, it'd be well, that would be really good, mate.
That was just like a 5 minute demonstration, and that barely scratched the surface of its full capabilities.
Yeah,
the Beardytron 3000. Official name.
He's amazing. He's got an amazing balance between like educational material, stand-up comedy, and music. Because even though he is beatboxing, like, people just shout out names of songs from the audience, and he can recreate the entire song within about 10 minutes.
There's some ones he's done like where he just asked for a song and then a genre, and he's done things like Stevie Wonder but in the style of reggae or dubstep, like, and he just does it instantly, but it sounds exactly like Stevie Wonder if he bumped into Scream one night a few years ago and ended up making a sick tune out of it.
Does have the mad skills,
and he's also quite nice in about how he puts a lot of his live sets on YouTube, but like the full hour long ones, so you don't have to buy his album to enjoy his music, because he's happy for you to have it.
I want to see him do some Meatloaf, preferably Anything for Love. I think that he could do some amazing work on the piano bits for that.
He's got 10 minutes to play with.
I was watching some videos of didgeridoo beatboxers. It's pretty sick, that, really. I like the ones that are even, I think, using like a, called now, but like quite a sensitive mic or whatever, and you can do play with a lot of much quieter sounds and not have to use as much breath, and the way they move around and stuff. But it's like, it just sounds almost full rave going on, just one guy's voice in a long tube of wood. It's ridiculous, but well played. That Xavier Rudd's amazing. I've also been listening to Joe Driscoll a lot more this past week. Who's somebody else I like, and it's definitely worth a listen to.
He's a good one, the beatboxer, folk-ish guitarist.
We stole his work.
Live looper as well, isn't
live
he?
Live looper, yeah. He's just got a guitar, a loop pedal, his voice, and his imagination.
And didgeridoo occasionally as well.
He pulls out his do, has a little digi on it. He stole his wallet.
No, we didn't steal his wallet.
He
like he's got a wallet.
No, I mean,
he's a hippie.
He's not a hippie.
He's a troubadour.
Yeah, which is just kind of like an element of the hippie nation. I'm not saying it derisively. There's nothing wrong with being a hippie. It's awesome.
Derisively.
Ancillary.
Ancillary.
Awesome sauce.
Ancillary.
No, seriously, he stole this. What passes his wallet?
No, we didn't steal Joe Driscoll's.
He put
wallet.
His cock in his pocket.
I might.
Did he notice?
No, which means that he's
yours.
True love. Yeah.
What do you like, Jim?
What do I like? I actually can't remember the name of. Have you got that thing up on tab still?
No, you're not allowed to research.
I just literally can't remember the name. What it is? It's a fella called. Here we go. It's a Polish fellow called Marcin Jakubowski, and he was a farmer guy. He'd actually did a PhD in fusion, and he went off to become a farmer.
It's quite a big leap there. He was a farmer guy, and he actually did a PhD in fusion.
Yeah, he did a PhD in fusion, then he realised that, you know, there weren't that many jobs in fusion, so he went off to become like a farmer guy, and he had a tractor, and his tractor broke, and he paid loads of money to get his tractor built, fixed, and then he decided this was mental, so he just built his own tractor, like, completely from scratch, out of scrap and stuff. And then he decided that this was the thin end of the wedge, and him and his buds in the collective identified 50 key bits of technology that would have to be produced to reproduce society from scratch if everything was fucked. Starting from base principles, like, you know, melting metal and, like, actually manufacturing everything. And they've got a thing called the...
What's the name of the organisation?
You're not allowed to research.
Can't remember the name of the organisation. Put the link up, but it's like a civilisation starter kit. And I think they're up to 28 things that they have complete blueprints for. And they've got things that they're working on still, like a fabricator, essentially a 3D printer. You know, various other bits and bobs. Like I think they're building the big truck at the moment. But they've done all kinds of things like bread ovens and the tractor, obviously. Brick presses, all kinds of really cool shit. And
so what? I'm sure they're doing amazing things, but right now in my head, all it sounds like is they're reinventing things that have already been.
Yeah, invented. They're sort of. But
are they like streamlining it?
No, they're just doing it out of scrap and stuff, though.
Okay, so like rebuilding.
So it's like saying if there was an apocalypse, you could follow this blueprint to rebuild the technology required. Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. And it's like Minecraft: you build the smaller things first, which then
help you
build the bigger things. Yeah. And it all like builds like a pyramid until you're getting up to like.
It sounds
amazing. Yeah.
I want to have a go.
You can. Everything is on a DVD, and there's a wiki site for it as well. We'll put the links up.
Oh, we saw that last night. Sorry to wildly change subject, but it's just because you said it's on DVD. You can get a DVD, an instructional DVD, in how to do judo by Putin, by Vladimir Putin.
Cool.
I want to learn judo from Vladimir Putin. That would be eight.
He does look pretty. He's actually probably actually pretty hardcore.
Does that have subtitles?
Hmm?
Does that have subtitles, or is it dubbed?
Oh, I don't know, but if it's not dubbed, we should dub it.
He also became a ninth Dan black belt in
Taekwondo. Yeah, but even he said he thinks that's he doesn't really deserve it, but it's a great, you know, if it's good for Taekwondo, that's great.
Which is one Dan above Chuck Norris.
Can't be happy about that old Chuck, can he?
Probably not.
I don't think he really panders to a human classifications of strength and combat technique. He's
Mr.
Chuck
Norris.
It's a qualification in itself that outranks anything a standard human could do.
Yeah, you might have your ninth Dan, but I'm Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Much as Chuck Norris is Chuck Norris, he will never be Bruce Lee.
No. Quite right.
You're
there.
Not wrong.
I'm
100%
correct.
You don't need to fact check that one.
Yeah. Actually, look it up.
Could Chuck Norris ever be Bruce Lee? No.
Oh, that's what it says.
Sounds like a very strange dog.
There's a sad, strange dog outside we can hear.
It sounds like it's laughing.
I hear sadness in its laugh. Like Pagliacci.
Speaking of martial artists, have you seen what Jean-Claude Van Damme did the other day?
Yeah!
It's like it splits in between the two lorries.
Yeah, it was like showing off the dual driving capability of the two lorries.
Is
they
it,
decided
is, yeah.
to show this by getting Jean-Claude Van Damme to stand with a foot on
the
a wing mirror on the two different trucks, and then they just drifted apart. He held the splits between them.
While they were driving.
Right.
Backwards. It's a Volvo advert, and they whilst they said that there has been some safety equipment digitally removed from the video, everything he's doing in there is real.
Well, did they have like pads or something hanging from him?
He was on a harness.
Yeah, I would assume
he was in a harness.
Yeah,
right.
He didn't need the harness.
No.
The harness was just for if he slipped out.
Because then he'll be face planting, you know, a floor,
moving
at like 5-10 miles an hour. From about 12 foot.
It's still very impressive.
If he was tied, they wouldn't have used the safety harness.
It's insurance, dude. They have to do it. Insurance companies demand everything.
That's a cunt.
Regardless
of the safety harness, it's still absolutely mental. How old is he now as well?
52 or 53.
I watched Bloodsport. I watched Bloodsport a couple of nights ago. Cracking film. I do like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
For me, it doesn't really get any better than Double Team.
With Dennis Rodman?
With Rodman and Mickey Rourke. He's in it as well,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
It's just. That's exactly what the genre means to me, that film.
I've never seen it.
It's ace.
It's got tight,
Dennis Rodman's
it?
Pretty good in it as well, to be fair to him. The best film Jean-Claude Van Damme's ever done, though, is that In Hell. I think it's called.
Oh, the prison one.
Yeah, it's just an utterly. It's like you forget that Jean-Claude Van Damme's in it. It's a really good film.
It's that good.
Yeah, it's like a proper decent film, and it happens to have Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. It's like, you know, obviously there's that sort of the actiony element that you kind of would expect, or the violence element, but the actual story involved in it and the other people in it just kind of, and it's. Dark in places, psychologically dark in places as well. It's just, I couldn't believe it. I think you can tell by the way I'm speaking that I was mildly blown away by this thing. It was years ago, and I watched it for a while actually, but it is really, really good film.
I think the first Jean-Claude Van Damme film I saw was Double Impact, where it's him and him in it.
Yeah, he plays him and his identical twin brother.
I couldn't remember what that was called the other day. I was chatting to somebody about that. Yeah.
Hasn't he done that in a couple of films? I'm sure he plays that where he's twins. There's another one where
there's the bit in Time Cop, isn't there?
The bit in Time Cop where he sees himself. Yeah,
there's Doctor Dolittle, where he played Doctor Dolittle and Doctor Dolittle's parents and Doctor Dolittle's brother.
I would like to put my hand up and ask you what you mean.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I meant like Mama's House.
Yeah.
I meant more like specifically Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's in a few.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme is in. He is Doctor Dolittle.
What?
He's made up to look like Eddie Murphy and then made up to look like all the other people.
I didn't realise. That's
he's
incredible.
He's a really good actor.
Mm. He's got skills.
He has. He's also quite mental.
Mm.
That's what I learned from watching that, the sort of backstage with the Van Damme's show that he did for a little bit. It's like, I mean, you sound, but
yeah, he seems happy to take the piss out of himself.
Yeah,
which is always a refreshing character trait.
Like the Budweiser adverts.
Coors.
Oh, sorry, the Coors adverts. Yeah.
Wow.
That's just how pervasive advertising is, aren't you?
It just doesn't affect me.
That's Jean-Claude Van Damme. I want to buy beer.
I just want to buy Jean-Claude Van Damme's little ones.
Oh, seriously.
Dan just gave me the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh,
I'm not going to open it.
You can't have it. You shouldn't have it.
Somebody pointed this out to me the other day, and I'm a little bit worried about this. It was Indiana Jones 1, you know, the
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I couldn't actually remember the name. That's fucking
bleh. It's crazy because in its original release it didn't even have Indiana Jones in the title.
No, weird. Anyway, that film, which is one of my favourite films ever, in fact, I didn't get pointed this out. I think it was Big Bang pointed this out. I can't remember who it was. Fuck it. That if Indiana Jones hadn't involved himself in the whole debacle, then it would have gone straight to Germany and Hitler would have looked in it and it would have ended World War II. But instead, he just killed a few Nazis on an island.
Interesting point.
Yeah, so in a way, Indiana Jones kind of fucked things up there.
I don't know, because after Hitler looked in it, then the rest of the power system that was there would then make a terrible use of it.
Goebbels would have been there and Himmler would have been there. They'd have all been there and they've all been melted by skull angels.
There still would have been other people
to
take over.
Hitler would have had a cheeky look in while no one was around.
What year is Raiders set in?
1933?
35?
It's late, it's closer to the war.
36?
Yeah, 37, maybe 38.
I'm just going to name numbers.
Yeah.
That happens. No, it can't be 37 because
pi.
Yeah.
19 pi.
19 pi.
That wasn't Last Crusade around 36.
Last Crusade? No, because Last Crusade is while World War II's on. And
I have to check the history books.
Yeah. And yeah, Templar Doom is either late 20s or early 30s.
Is there not a Tome of All Knowledge? By your right thigh.
If there's only some kind of electric way we could discover facts.
Better if it wasn't electric, to be honest.
What if it was like powered by
soul?
No, powered by chi. Oh, disappointing! You wanted to harvest souls.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, 36.
36.
Last Crusade, 38.
So it is pre-war.
Just.
Yeah. So yeah, if Hitler had died in 1936, then the war may have been avoided.
Yeah, would have been great.
Damn you, Indiana Jones!
Why?
Yeah, I mean, I believe Indiana Jones would have made a lead more than surviving in the fridge.
Alright, I will admit, it's out there. I think that's the bit I like most in the film. The rest of the film sucks.
You have to, just to be fair, I would presume that the fridges they had were probably like the best fridges you could possibly have as well, because, you know, it was by a nuclear testing site, so presumably they ordered pretty fucking good fridges. So
old school fridges, like in the 40s, like most of them were lead lined. They're just like, you know, and with them awesome handles on that they banned because kids kept like getting trapped in them and waste on
why are they awesome sites.
Trapped kids,
why are they awesome? Is that your reason for liking these fridge handles?
No,
because they trap kids.
They look nice, but yeah, they did trap kids, so can't have dead kids everywhere, so we've got shit fridges.
I know which one I'd prefer.
Whereabouts is that on the swear word periodic table? Shit fridges? Was that in there?
You're allowed to say shit fridges.
No, there was no shit fridges.
That is definitely something I liked, the swear words periodic table. You can find that at
I'll put a link up so you can find out for yourself.
Yep.
But it's an absolute beast of a reference guide for all sorts of swearing. It even gives the atomic weight of swear words.
the swear table.
Ooh. You stupid fucking arseholing cunt.
That has an atomic weight of 71.
Mm. Mm. So the heaviest?
By no means.
No way. I mean,
102.
Ooh, where's 102? Oh yes, is 102 is
shitting a fucking breeze block.
That is pretty heavy.
Although, wait,
that's 11 more than you should be fucking arseholing cunt is.
Twat pack.
My personal favourite though is
stink like a piss C-fax.
Piss C-fax. Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds wonderful.
Is it stink
Council
like a
tit gristler?
Is it stink like a piss C-fax or stink like a pissy fax?
No, a piss C-fax.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that lovely old text-based internet from the TV.
Oh, I miss C-fax.
I really don't.
C-fax is the BBC variant.
I like the C-fax
teletext
quiz.
With ITV. But yeah, actually, that's to illustrate this, I used to love that. C-fax and teletext were, like, as everyone's saying, a text-based, early, very blocky internet that you used to get through your TV, and it'd tell you stuff like what's on the TV,
news you get,
horoscopes, and the infamous Channel 4 quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Bamboozle.
Mm. Love Bamboozle.
Cracking.
Now all gone, and now
we can't really complain. Well, it's been replaced by something significantly better.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. Some people have decided to bring back the swastika, or at least reclaim it. Like, the original symbol has been, like, really pervasive in, like, cultures and religions for thousands and thousands of years. Mm. Quite a lot in Hindu culture. Mm. It's everywhere. It just generally means well-being and has quite a nice spiritual connection to it. Unfortunately, some really naughty bastards about 70 years ago misappropriated that symbol, and it ever since then it had a big connection to the Nazis and general badness. So a few people took it onto themselves to reclaim it, the traditional swastika symbol, which is a little bit different than the Nazi swastika.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the other day one of the local tattoo parlours had an event where they would tattoo people for free and put on a little swastika, which I like the principle of it.
Mate got one.
Lovely.
His son picked out the, because they do a lot of them don't really even look like swastikas. Mm. The shape is there, but like, he got one that's a smiley face with wings, four wings coming out of it, but it's done as a swastika in the sort of style of it.
Right.
But it's obviously, you know, at first glance you wouldn't even necessarily spot that was one, but there's a lot of ones like that. There's obviously some that are a little bit more obviously are, but I think it's it is another thing. It's like it's the idea that you give more power to these things by allowing negative parties to control a symbol like that. You know, it then becomes such a powerful symbol. Whereas if you do reclaim it and allow it to have its more positive, or, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to always be positive. You know, it's been representative symbols of all sorts of things, and not to suggest that it could be okay for it to be as bad as the Nazis again. But you know, it could be the symbol of a football club or something who, you know, weren't, you know, necessarily the nicest of people, but it's still just that, you know what I mean, though? It can just still just be an average symbol. It doesn't have to represent an incredibly evil thing. It doesn't have to represent an incredibly good thing. You know, it could just, you know, why should it be allowed to stay, you know, representative of just that thing?
Like, I understand the point of view, and it will take a long time to reclaim it back from the Nazis, but they did kind of own it for a while.
Yeah, it's us that gives the symbol its power.
Mm.
It used to be, I'm sure one of them, it used to be like a symbol of like American scout troops and stuff as well.
Yeah. It's like those old photos of like the cross teams with wearing swastikas and stuff pre 1940s.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was a hockey team.
Yeah.
It was used in Ireland to advertise a few products, but then the Nazis turned up and suddenly they thought, nah, maybe not.
fucking Nazis.
I mean, I do agree with it, and I do like think that yeah, it should be taken away from the Nazis as this thing, but it's so ingrained, that initial reaction is so ingrained that
yeah,
it's going to take a while.
My mate who got it done said he still wouldn't show his granddad.
No, I mean, fuck.
He's like, I'm all for it, but he actually fought in the war, and
yeah.
It's just not. It's just too much.
I think that's like my main problem. It's too soon. The fact that there's still survivors and people who've been like victims events of the war and Nazis and neo-Nazis in general, that they've like taken that such grasp of it.
The Illinois Nazis.
I can imagine there's quite a lot of people though that who are alive that have experienced it that would also support doing it, you know, because they would believe that ideal as well. That yeah, you know, they were horrible things and they lived through a horrendous time in history, but they shouldn't be allowed to have that, you know. Right. And perhaps it is right to reclaim it. But I'm, you know, equally there would be some that just would be shocked instantaneously.
Especially because it's around Remembrance Day as well.
But you know, that's part of it, isn't it? Like they're doing it. The one in Southport was doing it because there was a guy I think that had been trying to do this for a long time, and he was covered in swastika tattoos.
Yeah.
Look, gnarly, but he was like a genuinely sound person. Like,
he's a Scottish guy, and he's called Man Woman.
But he's dead, isn't he?
No, he's alive.
Is he alive?
Man Woman. Man Woman. He's not like transsexual or anything. He's just, his name is just Man Woman.
What, first name, last name? Man Woman.
No, no,
Man
Woman.
First name, Man Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still alive.
The M and the W are still capitalised though.
It's very forward thinking of him.
It's a bit different.
That's the thing there, isn't it? There's like massive like Buddhist statues. You're gonna have to cut this out, but I did just, you know, proper. You know, like when you catch your boxers and it just goes like a cheese wire across one of your balls. That just kind of interrupted me.
Stayed in.
That's stayed in, I'm afraid.
Sorry. That hurt. But there's like, you know, giant Buddhist statues with like swastikas on and stuff, isn't there? Like in
When I was in India, I mean, I saw swastikas on a daily basis, constantly. Wherever I went, any shrine or statue will have swastikas on them. And the thing is, I knew it was a symbol misappropriated by the Nazis. On an intellectual level, I knew that. I knew the history of the symbol was more deeply rooted in the Hindu culture than anything else. However, my first reaction every single time was, Nazis around here. I mean,
guys have got a bit dark skin to be white supremacists.
A bit far right, isn't it? I mean, and I knew that, but every single time, like, that irrational thought and like would come in and like go, oh yeah, no, they're not. And it took, even after 6 months, my first reaction was racist. Before I went, actually.
I saw an article on, it was either Cracked or BuzzFeed a couple of months ago, and it's strange appropriations of Nazi ideology throughout marketing in Asia. So they had a South Korean shop called Hitler's, where like all the clothes and everything they sell there is Nazi themed.
What?
Because it doesn't mean the same thing to them over there. Like, they weren't at war with them for a start. They never saw any direct combat against it, and they probably didn't get any news about it in the same way that we did.
Sure,
and therefore,
back in the day, yeah.
It's just a cultural force. It doesn't have that negative impact associated with it in the same way. It's like, as you spread further away from the epicenter of such a cultural travesty like that, the barriers are less and less and less.
Strange.
So it doesn't mean the same thing in other cultures as it does in ours.
That's why you can buy like makeup and blusher called Khmer Rouge.
Is that true?
Could be.
Fact check.
What about that? No, it's true. Yeah, Google says it's true, so.
Really, fuck.
Typey.
Well, we'll expect to see a link.
I've got to get programming.
Wikipedia entry.
Does anybody know HTML?
I
believe
I know what
the internet is made of.
That and magic and unicorns.
Speaking of which, I did see a news article that you might be interested in.
On the BBC?
On the BBC.
I saw that.
About bronies. I thought it was quite positive.
It was, but look at those guys.
Look at them. But them
is it
being
like looking
bronies
in a mirror, Jim?
Hurts
Unfortunately
no one.
Not.
Sorry, what was that?
Them being bronies hurts no one.
No.
They're having a good time. They enjoy My Little Pony, which is...
bizarre.
It is. I find it bizarre, but again, they're not hurting anyone, and it's a program about friendship and magic. It's like
I don't
a
necessarily
very
find
positive force.
I don't necessarily find them that bizarre, other than just the whole situation, because then, you know, arguably there's got to be something about the show that is creating, you know, its main market to be, you know.
All right, okay.
20 to 40-year-old men. Like,
what
the hell?
Well, maybe it is its main market. Fuck. It's animated well. It's made well. It's funny. And this is kind of like a weird point, and I'm not talking about like cloppers here. Cloppers, people who fap to My Little Pony. So very
people
disturbing.
Who fap are people who masturbate.
I'm pretty
people
sure
who
people
who masturbate
know what
are people
is.
Who have a wank.
God. Right.
People who have a wank are people who choke the chicken.
People who choke the chicken are bad farmers. Like,
people who are bad farmers beat up the one-eyed pope. Yes!
But, like, it's also very girly. But, and, like...
that's also part of the appeal.
Well, yeah, I mean... Who doesn't find, like, female things attractive?
Who
like,
doesn't find little
I don't mean,
girl
like, sexually attractive. I don't mean sexually attractive, but,
oh,
like, you
okay,
know,
yeah.
A chick vibe is kind of like... Who doesn't like chicks?
Well, gays.
Yeah, gay dudes. And
it's
not the only
one
I
dislike.
Yeah.
I was just being, you know, I don't know the words.
The overarching thing that came from the article was that it's relentlessly positive.
Yeah.
Like, that's why people can get like a handle on it and like it, because it's a place that you could retreat to where you know like that dark shit isn't about to happen.
Oh no, it is dark. There's bad ponies and shit. There's some evil ponies, like a nightmare pony. She's like head of nightmare shit.
The guy also said that it related to real life issues,
really?
Which I thought was a point slightly strained. But we'll put the link up and you can see for yourself. But
real life issues in a He-Man way, like there's a moral to each story and stuff. But
they were like, there's this one pony who was getting too big for its boots, and then it realised that at the end it had too big an ego and apologised.
Probably Twilight Sparkle. She's a bit snooty.
Really?
Yeah. Oh no, Rarity's a bit snooty. Twilight Sparkle.
Oh no,
right.
Yeah, Rarity. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I like it in a whole raft of other like cartoons, like Adventure Time and, you know, Powerpuff Girls and Venture Brothers. There's a whole shitload of awesome like animation going out there at the moment.
That was a nice little slot in.
What?
The sort of Powerpuff Girls sandwich you just created.
Powerpuff Girls is amazing. If you don't think so, watch the episode about the Beatles called The Beatles. It's like jam. It's like a love letter to the Beatles. It's beautiful. There's about 50-70 references to the Beatles in the show, but like subtly put in. It's cool.
I like Mojo Jojo. He's got a good name.
Mojo Jojo is amazing. Right, let's take it off cartoons. I'm getting derisive looks here. And I would like to just briefly mention the 6-minute teaser that's been put out for the 50th anniversary episode of Doctor Who, which blew my shit out last night.
I've not watched it. I don't do it.
I know you guys.
I almost watched the Brian Cox science behind Doctor Who thing that they've just made.
Oh yeah, any good?
I almost watched it, and then I remembered I'm not that much of a fan of Doctor Who.
Do you guys like anything?
I'm just going to give it a big fat.
Well, fuck! I'm going to mention it anyway. It's a little
six minute
like Doctor Who mini episode leading up to the 50th anniversary, and Paul McGann appears in it as Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah. And I lost my shit.
I don't care.
I know. Look at you.
What? So it's like from the TV special.
Yeah.
With fucking Eric Roberts. I did listen to that podcast that I was in. I wasn't in recently, where you did discuss Doctor Who, and several people seem to critically praise Paul McGann Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's all right.
I watched that, and that's the reason that I can't stand Doctor Who. Like all the hype, like around that TV show, I was like, "Oh, Doctor Who's coming back, and it's going to be amazing."
Yeah,
and I watched it, and it was so disappointing.
Yeah.
That it made me reassess all the past memories of Doctor Who that I ever had, and forced me to not enjoy it anymore.
A lot of people felt that, but he was an all right Doctor Who. The show was kind of shit. but it did sort of in the long run lead to the resurgence of Doctor Who. And
this
it's
is
awesome seeing McGann.
Like, so I'm not going to talk about it.
It's awesome McGann popping up, and something happens in it which is kind of cool, and it leads into this new one, and it kind of sort of explains. So it explains some stuff about the John Hurt Doctor Who who's appearing in the new follow up. Wait, everybody's pretending to be asleep.
So, all right,
he's not the Doctor, he's the Warrior.
We can allude to a plot point to a film that has come out and it's quite apparent in the trailer.
I said spoilers.
And you can give... Yeah, you're exonerated. Yeah.
Them's the rules.
They are the rules. But anyway, yeah, there's that. That's pretty awesome. Watch that if you want. I'm going to put the link up for that, whether you like it or not.
No, of course. Other people probably do like Doctor Who. I could only ever say the exact same thing I've ever said before about Doctor Who, so
yeah.
I'm not going to bother.
It exists.
Yeah, there's shit I like, but it's only...
I'm not crazy about it. No, I'm not crazy about it, but I do like it.
Yeah.
Anybody else like anything?
I like it, although it's not necessarily a positive thing, but I do like it because it's interesting. The Ultimate Fighter, which I know not none of you guys watch it, and you're not particularly into it, but it's the side along TV show for UFC, the MMA.
Maybe we should start putting out a show that's called Things I Like, but I know no one else. In the
no, but I think you'll still find this kind of interesting. The thing I like, not just the show. I obviously like the show because I watch it, but it's like this is the first time they've had women fighting in the house.
Okay.
So, and it is a bit weird.
Mm.
I know I'm not going to be misogynistic or anything, they rightly should be there, but you know the fact that there are men and women in the house together has created a slightly different dynamic, and some of them are fucking crazy. Plenty of them are sound, but some of them are mental, and one in particular, it's like she's, I don't know what's going to happen, presumably the sort of personality she has, it wouldn't matter if she did watch back the footage, but she is whinging about things that she does. You're like, how you're like whinging about yourself.
That is a little weird.
Yeah, like mental. Like, yeah, okay, other people are doing it as well, but she does the same shit and she's whinging about them doing it, and you're like, how have you got to the age that you are and, you know, carried on being like this? It's just really bizarre. It's just really bizarre. But it still is interesting.
Okay. It was believed to be a medical fact that when a uterus wasn't busy making a baby, it could detach from a woman's body and roam around
right.
of its own free will. This is what doctors believe. The uterus could detach itself from the other organs and roam about the body of its own free will, and it wasn't busy making a baby.
Would that mean hysteria by any chance?
Chestburster from Alien.
Similar to the chestburster from Alien. And as it roamed around, it would damage the other internal organs, which would lead to slight madness in the woman, and this was labelled hysteria.
Is this where the term comes from. Is this mostly research carried out by doctors who had sort of breakfast, lunch and dinner of laudanum?
Quite possibly. I think it's mainly because at the time
they could say whatever the fuck they like and no one could fact check.
The doctors were men and they clearly just made shit up because they couldn't be bothered looking at it properly.
Yeah, and to cure hysteria they would have basically what amounted to a downstairs massage to cure them off it.
That's right.
Well, like on the ground floor.
It's only like 100-something years ago, I think, that they stopped saying that. Maybe it was a bit longer than that ago, but either way, in British history they've said that if a woman got pregnant after she was raped, it can't have been raped because you can only get pregnant if you have an orgasm.
I'm pretty sure a senator in America said that last year.
Yeah, you can't get pregnant from a legitimate rape, basically. Yeah.
But that was the law back in the day.
Yeah, a politician was saying that about a year ago.
In America?
Yeah,
in the run-up to elections.
He didn't get elected in the primary.
Things we do not like.
Oh, things we like. Sarah put that post up. Has anyone listened to it? I don't know if we... I don't think we've mentioned... No, we haven't mentioned this. The Irish president slamming the Tea Party on a radio interview, I think it was. Just... It's aged.
Wankers.
We'll probably... Yeah. Just brilliantly.
I think by Lord of Pranks.
Articulated. Even with the swearing and sort of losing his shit, but not losing, controlled losing of his shit.
He was still erudite.
Oh yeah, he was ace. It was the right moment to call them a bunch of wankers. you know, as oratory goes, that was pretty fantastic. But yeah, we'll try and put the link up for that as well, because it's well worth a listen to. If you're at home and you have duct tape and you're struggling to open a jar, you can tape the duct tape to the top of the jar and then pull it in the direction of unscrewing.
Lefty loosey.
And it will open the jar.
Adding several
pounds
of torque.
Yeah, indeed.
Foot pounds.
So that's a good one.
Mm, that is good.
I used duct tape last week, in fact, not only to reinforce a box that I was using. I did the classic tape over the seam, tape across the edges, and then once round the rim.
Ooh.
Yeah. Classic. Top and bottom, once it contained what I was taking. And then I fashioned a carrying strap out of the duct tape by stripping a bit of duct tape to the sticky side of the duct tape, so it's sort of double sided, and with the excess taped around the box, and it worked well, exactly as you expect it to.
Listen, duct tape can't do. Think of one thing.
Think of one thing that duct tape can't do.
Yeah.
I didn't reattach the crank to Bradley's bike. However,
it doesn't provide nutrition for a stable diet.
Okay, it can't do anything that.
I have to say, in duct tape's defence, it actually did do what it was supposed to do. We just didn't use it properly.
Yeah,
I think in that instance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or anything outside the bounds of the. Six signifiers for life, being a life form.
Duct tape has got five of them.
No, it has none of them. Well, that I know of.
Damn it.
It might be able to reproduce for all I know. It might respirate. But anything outside of that, it can pretty much. It's got shit covered. It's not
it
bad.
It can definitely cover shit.
It most certainly.
Mm.
It might be useful.
I really want to try and make a duct tape tent.
I'm down with helping with the tent though.
I'd like to give that a go. We need to get sponsorship. Duct tape, we love you.
Yeah, duct tape, if you're out there, please sponsor us so that Alf can build a tent out of your lovely tape.
Well, so I can do all kinds of things out of your lovely tape.
Mm.
And all things that are advertisable. Yeah, I just won't submit the things that aren't.
Yeah. In fact, if WD-40's out there, we're quite keen on you as well.
Think of the things you could do with both.
Anything. The world is your option. Option.
I like this. It's utterly ridiculous. Not a good thing. Potentially really bad in many respects, but I still like it. The utterly ridiculous headline, or not headline, news story from the other day. In 2010, MI6 agent was found naked. Dead, padlocked inside a sports bag inside his own flat. A couple of days ago, the police came out and said there was an accident because they couldn't find any evidence otherwise. Yeah, we all know that feeling.
It was like
the
biggest statement ever, wasn't it?
Yeah. But well, I like that because it's so ridiculous.
In fact, I'd like to officially state that right now we completely buy. This story. We are in no way interested in investigating any possible other.
We're definitely not interested in investigating any other possibility.
Yeah.
However, I do not buy this story. MI6, if you are listening, I don't believe
we
you.
Completely believe it.
It's ridiculous.
It's fine.
Sort your shit out. Oh well.
Anyway.
So, quick thing you like?
I like spy murders. Oh no, wait, no, I like Jaffa cakes.
They're quite easy to confuse.
I'm having a bit of a moral quandary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the epic lines of spy murder, do I prefer Oreos or do I prefer Jaffa Cakes?
That's not something we can answer for you, Jim.
What about Jorio Egg?
An Oreo Jaffa Cake. Oh, shit. I'm going to write to them. They're probably all owned by the same company by now.
Aren't we all?
Oh...
thing I like this week, got a new Twitter thing I've been following, Court News UK. It's a Twitter account posting from inside courtrooms,
yeah.
And they've been coming out with some absolutely cracking ones. And one of them,
a man emerged naked from the storage cupboard of a Premier Inn in the West End and shoved a fire extinguisher hose up his bottom. The court hears. Chap represented himself as just referenced the American Constitution and pulled a fist pump at the judge. Not sure it's going to help.
Yeah, you can't speculate on what a chap might do.
Chaps could do anything. Chaps always leave a man behind. It's chap's motto.
Alright. I think my favourite one is, man charged with possessing cocaine tells magistrate that she is sound. Cue confused looks all around.
Oh, she's burning.
And then, tycoon accused of hiding millions from his wife in bitter divorce battle insists, I have got nothing to hide. Oh, and Paul Logan, he's been doing some, he's got a nice compilation of vines. I've already put it on the website and the Facebook, so.
I believe he did some stuff with Jerome, not Andre.
Alistair.
Yeah.
That was my bad.
Yeah, I said Andre. Jerome.
Right, mother.
Quick things I like are Toblerones.
Apart from, you know, when you bite a chunk and it, like, proper hard pokes you in the roof of the mouth.
Mm.
That is bad. Also, they are quite a sturdy piece of chocolate, and I don't know if my fillings will hold up well against the four-side Toblerone anymore, but I just think they're amazing.
Damn it, man, you've got to try.
I could eat an entire four-size Toblerone in a single sitting if I tried.
You've seen the bear in the mountain, right?
The bear in the mountain.
In fact, we got the internet pop up the Toblerone logo.
The bear in a mountain.
Oh yeah. This got pointed out to me like a few weeks ago. And, like, crap,
it's
just
you, you bear.
Just bring up the no. Just bring
oh, like Toblerone.
Toblerone logo.
Yeah.
Not like pictures of bears on mountains.
Jim, it's exactly what you asked for. You just asked. See the bear in the mountain.
Yeah, I wanted a different bear in a different mountain.
There's one wearing a Santa hat.
See, there's the Toblerone logo.
Oh my God! There's a bear in the Toblerone mountain.
Yeah. Cool, isn't it?
It's a mountain and a bear logo.
It's like an outline of a bear within the stylized logo of the mountain for Toblerone.
It's quite similar to all those Disney pictures that have penises in them.
Oh, Disney.
Well, there's a picture of Minnie Mouse hugging Mickey Mouse, and if you remove the head, the arms and the legs, it's Mickey Mouse hugging cock.
I've seen that, but that's on a picture of something that was some licensed Spanish merchandise, or Spanish or Croatian.
In the original
something.
Little Mermaid, the priest had like a relatively prominent bulge.
You say that, are you sure that wasn't Hunchback of Notre Dame? Damn. I just said Hunchback of Notre Dame! Notre Dame.
No, it was in the Little Mermaid, it was in the boat at the wedding scene at the end.
Right.
I don't understand why. You can't say it that way.
Outraged.
We done?
I guess.
Okay. Well, that's it this week for things we like. If you like things, please let us know thingswelike@hotmail.com. Go on Facebook and Twitter and say nice things about us. We're also available on iTunes, and you can find the blog at wethingslike.wordpress.com.
Quality. So until next time, for more ill-informed opinion and wild debate, I've been Jim.
I've been Jan.
I've been Dan.
I've been Alf.
And we just liked all this shit. Bye!
Bye.
Smell you later.
Jan says goodbye as well.
Bye.